Whether you're listening on Sportsnet 590 or watching on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6 p.m., as always, everybody ropes, everybody rides on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and James Wilson?
Yeah.
Who the hell is James Wilson?
A new addition.
I mean.
Oh, I screwed up. It's Frank.
We still got Baraska. We got Frank Baraska in the house.
Shot out of a cannon to start
so
this show.
A really good really
And you
intro.
Screwed up the lineup.
So I got an email this morning from said James Wilson, and I just assumed that a man that would be emailing me would be on today. I heard that there was a day.
He's proactive.
Yeah, unlike me. He's proactive. And they caught me off guard, and I put him in the lineup, and I screwed up. And I'm sorry, Frank. I'm sorry, James. It's my bad.
So Frank the Tank is back into action. Have you met James Wilson before?
No. Yeah, maybe.
Is he
passing.
A little feller? Can I call him Wee Willie?
I don't know.
Sounds like an AI-generated person.
I need a nickname or something on him.
Sorry, I'm sweating over here. I'm
Jay Will.
Quite literally.
If you're sweating,
it's hot in here.
If you're sweating, imagine what James Wilson's feeling, and he hasn't even started the show yet. But we're glad everybody's on board. And as always, if you can't catch us live, you got the opportunity to download us on your podcast wherever you get your pods. And text us at 590-590. And Sammy, before we kick things off to the Leafs 2-1 over shootout win through overtime over the Panthers, talk to me about the NHL All-Star. That thing is creeping up ever so slowly here.
Yeah,
but it's coming.
Yeah, our friends at Rogers, I believe we have friends at Rogers, want to tell us that the tickets for the All-Star game are going on sale on December 5th. So included in this is a draft. So the All-Star Thursday at Scotiabank Arena featuring Tim Hortons NHL All-Star Player Draft, the NHL Alumni Man of the Year, honoring the 1967 Maple Leafs, no one will make fun of that, and the Canadian Tire PWHL 3-on-3 Showcase. So, like I said, tickets to the NHL All-Star Thursday go on sale Tuesday, December 5th at 10 a.m. on Ticketmaster. And you can watch it all on the, you can catch all the action, including the Rogers NHL All-Star Game on Sportsnet. So there you go.
Kip, did you win the Alumni Man of the Year?
I can confirm I am not winning that award.
Okay.
So it's a,
I disagree, you should.
It's a big day. It's a big weekend. I'm assuming you guys will be the talk of the town. You'll be bringing everybody in. You'll be hosting, picking up everybody from the airport.
So, watching on TV.
What about you as a super fan?
Yeah.
This stuff must excite you to have everybody
it excites me.
Town over 3 days.
Yeah.
Are you going to kind of go out on your own during those 3 days, or are you going to try to ride my coattails?
Depends.
He's going to be selling Super Sammy hats, $10 per hat, 15 listen. With an autograph in front of Scotiabank Arena.
I just sounded like John Cooper there, but listen.
Listen.
The All-Star Game, I'm past the age where the All-Star Game is for me. But I think to have this event in the city, it's very cool. And I think it brings a lot of people in. I'm most excited that Matt Sundin will be here. That's what he said when he was on with us a couple weeks ago. I just think that part of it is cool. The game itself, I think they're actually playing hockey this year. Right? They didn't lay out the fact that it's not going to be 3-on-3. Is it going to be 5-on-5?
Ooh,
a hockey game?
Interesting.
I'm not sure about those details, but I think that'll be fun. The draft thing is a really good addition. Whoever gets picked last, ha ha ha. But yeah, I mean, I'm not like excited for the All-Star game.
You know, the final four people are being assigned, so no one will be picked last.
Oh.
That's what I heard.
No hurt feelings.
I mean,
I guess, or 25% is hurt.
But Phil, I mean, that'll go down in forever. With Phil sitting there by himself and Ovi, like, taking a picture of him on the flip phone. Like,
Ovi
that was
taking a picture is really the highlight.
I would love to see that picture.
I would, too. How is it not everywhere?
I don't know.
All right.
So there you go. All-Star game coming to Toronto. Buy tickets. Ticketmaster just starting December 5th at 10 a.m., boys.
Celebrate the city and the game.
10 a.m. Eastern.
So, all right. And how much is celebrated off of a 2-1 shootout win?
Zero.
Noah Gregor and Joseph Woll shine, according to you, on my lineup sheet.
Well, who else did?
After that, I don't really know where to go or to begin.
Every year, our show adopts one player, and I feel like Noah Gregor is our collective son. We have said nothing but good things about him this year, and
we
had a night.
I made it abundantly clear the last couple of weeks he couldn't hit the side of a barn.
Yeah, but he did other things well.
He hit the front door last night.
That was a goal, man.
He almost split the puck in two in the bar. He hit it so hard.
Yeah, and I mean, gets that leg out. You know, the goalie thinks he's going across the net with all that speed. Ping! That was unbelievable.
The three stats I put in the lineup are these. The Maple Leafs have played an NHL high 9 games past regulation this season. The Maple Leafs have as many regulation wins this season as the San Jose Sharks. And the Maple Leafs have committed an NHL worst 8 too many men penalties this season. So those are the three stats I included in the lineup for you guys today.
Those are not positive. Okay. I was like, this show's a nightmare. Or sorry, that game was a nightmare for our show, Kip, because they won. And so fans really love that. But there was not much to like. So
can I ask you both a question?
Please.
Did you just like turn it off or did you stick with it?
What do you mean?
When Rodriguez scores the goal.
I stuck with it.
Because I do Leafs Talk After with J.D. Bunkus. Watch on YouTube and Sportsnet Plus and everywhere. I went straight to put my contacts in, have a glass of water, go to the washroom, get everything ready. And I came down, I was sitting there, and I was fully about to start the show thinking that they had lost. I had no idea that they had changed it over, and it was very confusing.
Now, apparently this wasn't the first time I think the league has dealt with two touches on a shootout goal.
Looks like Sammy Chippen.
But I don't know if there's anyone closer in terms of looking like it was a legitimate goal than this one.
Yeah. But I will say, like, I'm not even open to argument on whether that should have, like, counted or not. Like, he hit it a second time.
Yeah, I don't think anybody could, outside of Florida, maybe going, it's a chintzy call. But
do we have Maurice? Yeah, okay. So you think it?
You want to go to that first?
Way. Well, just want to hear him on it. Is that when it's relevant? We're talking about it.
Yeah,
someone who
might as well. Yeah, you can play the Maurice clip.
Clip two on Maurice.
Yeah, I have not seen that, especially that fast. No, you know what? I do think it's important that they have rules. Oh, it's important that we have them. Because there's no other way to do that, right? Because if he rips it off the guy and it goes off his shin pad and it goes in, is that a goal? That happens so fast. So it wasn't... Yeah, it's important we have rules.
But just he's like half laughing during this. Like, is he serious or not?
He's swearing.
Yeah.
I watched the whole 4 minute. He was unhinged last night. I don't...
He didn't know how to feel, huh?
I don't know what... It was an unhinged coach performance.
It's a show.
He bugs you like John Cooper bugs you. And it's really has everything to do. It really just has everything to do with that's a coach that's stuck it to you and your team.
Can I be honest? I actually really like Paul Maurice. And I thought Paul Maurice was a great coach when he was here. He got the short end of the stick. He got a ton out of a crappy Leafs team. I liked him a lot.
I'm waiting on the butt.
There is no butt. He's a good coach.
The butt is he's
yeah, he coached a
he's
team.
He's feeding
that
Sammy's lunch every spring.
Well, every time I see him.
For the first time, he did. Yeah. I mean, Cooper has fed a few times. But I just think that he knows when he's in Toronto. He knows when he's got the audience. And he knows how to perform for the people down there that they eat it up. You know, every other coach is boring. And he goes down there, he shows a little bit of personality. They're all eating out of the palm of his hand. So he loves that.
Yeah.
Right?
A ton of personality.
Yeah.
Ton of personality.
Him and Cooper, I think, lead the league. And just
the if
condescending
the conversations people. Yeah, maybe part of the shtick to work through.
Part of the shtick. Okay, we're going to get into great detail of what we saw or didn't see last night out of the Toronto Maple Leafs. But let's go to an overall view of what Sheldon Keefe thought of the game last night.
8 minutes left in the first period. There, shots I think were 7-7 at that time, 0-0, and then we sagged after that. Like we just really, you know, I don't know. It coincided with Mitch taking that puck in the face, and I don't know if that's it. I don't think it should be it. But that's about the checkpoint. That's right. I went and looked at the Mitch injury to see what the shots were, and there was 8 minutes left. And we just really had an emotional sag after that. And you sag emotionally and competitively, you lose your intensity against that team, and it's going to look like the way it did the rest of that first period. But I thought we got real life from our penalty kill in the second period. And then from there, I think it's a pretty even game. We're right there. And
so I think it's good that we didn't do a show after the first period last night.
Mm-hmm.
Because that first period to me was really bad.
We suck. We have it forechecked.
Yeah.
Kipper? And you?
Extremely disappointing that a team like the Leafs are waiting on a team that played 24 hours. And it was a hard fought game in Ottawa. Like, don't look at the score. Look at the fact that I think Ottawa battled hard with them, inexperienced or just not ready for prime time. We can say all that all we want about Ottawa, but they took a strip off of Florida the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And to not jump all over that, to Sheldon's point, I don't get it. Like one of the, I think he mentioned off that clip we just played that competitively, I think he mentioned, he's questioning the competitiveness of his own hockey team.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest disappointment.
Yeah. You know, I watched the game in kind of a funny, out of order fashion because don't worry about it. But so I went back, I watched the first period last night.
Oh my God.
Which, what a thrill that was watching that period. But it's funny because when I first came to the game, watching it, the Leafs really were, it reminded me a lot of playoffs. Chasing the game in a way, trying to get the next goal, but really controlling the play at times, and you could see all the strengths, but it's only once they're behind. So go back and watch the first period. SportLogic had the puck battle win percentage at 80% to 20% for Florida in the first period last night. And it's so evident with a guy like Willie, who can take over the game, kind of poking at pucks and looking for a breakaway on the other side of the pile, or mm-hmm. stretching and trying to look for a breakaway pass. It doesn't come. Like, these guys want to see if it'll happen. And then it doesn't come and they bear down, they start to play. You know they can play when they really turn it on. But that first period was just a lot of hope hockey, just hoping it would work out for them. My first period, hot take.
Yeah, it's a team, like you said, that you'd played, that played 24 hours before, had gone through a war with those guys. They're a team that beat you out of the playoffs in pretty embarrassing fashion, let's be honest. They lost in five games. People were expecting the Leafs to win it in five games. I believe Kipper even maybe said sweep at one point in that series. And you just come out like flat.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know it's not their personality to run somebody into the M boards or talk some. They didn't even look at it. It felt like they were afraid of the Panthers, that they didn't want to make contact and fear that it might come back their way. Like, it just, they felt so timid to me. It's a horrible existence as a sports fan watching your team feeling like they're afraid of the other team, because that's what it felt like to me in the first period.
You know,
like, terrified of contact. Like, didn't want to, like, engage them in case... Like, they were watching the game the night before, and they're like, boy, we don't want that.
That was supposed to be somewhat...
Addressed.
Addressed.
I know.
With Max Domi and Ryan Reeves, who were both in the lineup last night. And, like, listen, at the end of the day, Max isn't big enough or heavy enough to
shout out to him, though, for being
100%
awesome.
Showing up.
Yeah. At least he cares.
Right? At least he cares, but... If it's just going to be put on him or Ryan Reeves to go out there while everybody else gets to play the way they want to play in that non-confrontational way,
but this is
they're
it.
Wasting everybody's time.
If you listen to the show for now 3 years, I've always said, like, you taping toughness to the core does not change the DNA of the people who matter, who play the big minutes, who are involved the most. And so that is still a remaining issue, I would say. You know, you see some flashes of it as they get desperate. And, you know, you saw Matthews eventually run a guy over, and you start to see pieces of it.
Yeah.
But it's not their nature, and they need to be backed into a corner to show it.
Nylander's worst game of the year?
For sure.
Yeah.
Which, it's just one game.
It's three games without a point now.
Okay. But...
I mean, you as far absolutely
as,
called this.
As far as the worst, but as the worst look for him, I haven't seen a worse one.
Yeah, he didn't like...
Full credit for him up to this point. I mean, he's managed to keep those far and few between games.
Yeah, I mean, they made the lineup change, and the lines were ugly. That Nylander line... Nylander, Matthews, and Nyes had a Corsi 4 percentage, or shot attempts, in the first period of 0%. So they had no shot attempts that way and a bunch against. So, you know, it wasn't good. Well, it's not good. So, you know, that's sort of the initial...
Well, it's not good.
Hey, on cue. Love it. So, yeah, some work to be done here to say, okay, we got to give this line some run or whatever it is.
Marner played all but, 6 minutes before taking a puck in the mouth.
Yeah.
And that obviously didn't help Tavares' line.
Yeah.
But they were somewhat better than Matthews? Or no, we just lump him in?
I mean, did you think they were?
Listen, look at Marner's numbers, the parallel to Matthews' numbers, the last, what, 7 or 8 games? Should we get Brad May to say it's not good?
Yeah, I know.
I thought once he got the cage on, he looked a lot better, which is funny. Maybe it's just because he looked like he was junior Mitch.
That cage did him no favors in the shootout.
No, he tripped over his own feet looking down. 100%. But did, like, to me, he just looked like he was a little bit more engaged. Maybe he was
pissed off.
I think he
missed an opportunity to ask the trainer, get this thing off me in the shootout.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Interesting.
Yeah, didn't need to protect yourself in that moment. That's funny. But, you know, I will say, I'll draw parallels to that playoff series against Florida where it just felt like they couldn't get in. They couldn't get to the inside for the longest time. And, you know, they beat Tampa Bay on the backs of shooting the puck into traffic, tips and rebounds and whatever. And against Florida, they have had a hard time getting to the inside.
And their ability to break the puck out is not great against a non-good forechecking team.
Yeah.
But against a team like that, it just felt like, and we have a clip that we can get to about the, you know, how disconnected the forwards and defense are. But that a game like that just really illustrated how bad it is at the moment. So
sure, let's do that.
Okay, Sheldon Keefe, clip 10. 10.
Yeah.
I do see some of that, right? I mean, again, it comes back to a mindset, and it's a challenge. You got some of your top guys that aren't feeling it, you know, haven't produced at the level that they expect of themselves. So that becomes the focus. That's what you guys are asking about every day. You're not asking about how their forecheck has been or how they've defended or how competitive they've been. You're asking them why they haven't scored. And sometimes it gets in your head. Let's stay focused on the things that matter and the process that you put in place. To me, that's been the strength and the backbone of our team for the last number of years. And when you stray away from that, or you haven't, or in our case, maybe probably haven't quite found it yet, you know, combination of new players, injuries on defense, and some of our guys that, you know, that are trying to find their game offensively, you end up being disconnected. So to me, it's just about focusing on what we can control with our process and our structure. And I think everything else just falls into place. So we got to get focused on that.
Over the last few years, I've just not been a fan of the stretch pass.
No, like the Leafs employing it. Yeah.
I get they want to play fast and get the puck into the skill guys, but the disconnect and the gap between the forwards and the D is, for me, it's been an issue for not only this season, but over the last few years with Sheldon.
Yeah, I did look up icings today. I was curious about that myself, and they are in the top third, I think, of most icings. I think they've, you know, they're around high or mid-80 icings through 20 games.
Feels like a lot of icings.
Yeah, it's been a lot of icings. Yeah. The other teams in that mix are not great. By the way, the Penguins far and away have the most by like 20. But anyway, so the Leafs do ice the puck a lot, Kip, to your point. And so I see a few things with this team that I believe now. You know, we're 20 games in, I think, for the Leafs exactly, and I'm starting to form some solid beliefs. One is your point about defense or passing and just the lack of connection. This, to me, is the icings and the stretch passes. There's no connection. In the offensive zone, there's no support, too spread out. They just don't seem to use each other particularly well. You know, the other thing, other two things for me, they don't forecheck particularly well. They really have a hard time getting pucks back. 25th in the NHL. It's stopping the opposing breakout from getting out to the neutral zone. And then we'll talk about the defense at some point.
I can't recall.
So neutral zone, offensive zone, defensive zone. The whole ice.
Process has not been good.
And I mentioned this, and I'll reiterate it one more time. I've not seen over the course that the core group together that they've had the puck less, and they chase, and they can't make plays because they don't have the puck.
No, they don't. They do not, and that to me is forechecking. I think a lot has been lost in terms of forechecking when you go to Zach Hyman, Ilya Mikheyev, Andre Kasha. You know, a lot of guys who just went and got it for them, like speedy people who got in on pucks and went after it hard. Even Bunting was a good puck pursuit guy. They don't have great puck pursuit guys right now, and they're not able to forecheck.
The one look that we did get last night was Sheldon Keefe losing it on the bench, something that kind of reminded me of Paul Maurice last March here in Toronto.
Eerily similar to me.
Had the face match and the suit color.
Tyler Bertuzzi was the brunt of it, I think.
Yeah, Tyler Bertuzzi, he was giving it to him, huh?
So have we seen that before? I'm trying to remember. Like,
I've
I know, but I know he's lost his mind on refs, and I know he's really given it to some refs and other stuff. Yeah. But, like, to yell at his players like
I can't. I don't think I've seen it. Yeah, I think you're right, Sammy. I don't recall.
So then what does that mean?
Well, he's starting to lose patience with, you know.
Let's get him on clip number 11, Sheldon Keefe on a Kipper's Clipper on Too Many Men, and then we'll follow the whole conversation afterwards.
Well, it's not too many men. I mean, if you look at it, like, it's Nylander's on the ice the entire time. He's eligible to receive a pass, and Tavares is coming off the ice, and Bertuzzi's eligible to change for him. It's a line change that happens hundreds of times a game. So in that case, to me, you know, the official reacts to the situation and to the other team yelling. However, I look at it more as an issue where we pass the puck to our bench unnecessarily. You know, we're trying to make a line change. You can't. It creates chaos, and sometimes officials make the wrong call because it just looks like it's too many men when it's a legal line change happening with the puck arriving. And we've been caught on a couple of those, you know, that haven't gone our way. But the officials, I think if they look back at it, they'd probably say, you know what, we should have let that one go.
See, he's right on all fronts. They did miss the call.
Mm-hmm.
So he's right there. And I'm glad he didn't let his team off the hook on putting pucks towards the bench when you should have some feel that you know when guys need to get off the ice.
Yeah. And can I make an equally valid point, I think, here, Kip, which is, why are you changing with 5 seconds left? Are we trying to get fresh legs for 5 seconds? 5 seconds left in the period.
The bigger picture in this, even to go above just passing a puck towards the bench, is they are undisciplined on line changes as a whole. Okay, they don't change well. Mm-hmm. They overextend their shifts. They come off when they want to come off, not when they're supposed to come off.
Yeah.
And I put that right back on Sheldon. This is your team. Control it. If someone's not changing well, and even if you watch Willie Nylander, who, again, you know, I'm not crapping all over him.
No, it's
but
a lot
look at his body language on that particular play.
I did.
You awful. Don't know what he's thinking, what he's doing. Is he coming off?
Look to the bench. Signal.
He looks like a guy that was absolutely coming off. And if you are, come to the bench hard. Okay? If you come to the bench hard, there's nobody that can misread what your intentions are.
I also had another coach in the league that I messaged with saying, what are the assistant coaches doing? You know, what are their roles in this aside from facilitating changes? Like, that's a part of being on the bench and being alert and, you know, letting guys know. They hear the head coach call names. You know, you can be in guys' ears and going, hey, you're up, you're going, who you got? Let's hear it. Like, you know, there's some involvement there. So certainly it's not just the players on the ice, not just the coach, but it's a whole team issue. And it has been for years. I wrote an article 2 years ago.
We got tagged in that one today. Yeah.
When they were near tops of the league.
Who was it that was talking about that? We played a clip from the other day. Was it Tockett? Was talking about how important line changes are when they was like, our changes sucked. He like brought it up 100 times.
It is the attention to details that are the difference between winning and losing. And Leafs don't have that in their golf bag right now. They don't have that club to play.
No, and so their coach was sick of it and had a absolute meltdown. Can we listen to the clip now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Kip, we go to the clip.
Let's
on
do it.
Clip 8.
It's a mindset of our team in that moment, right? We've been talking lots about recognizing moments and being good with our situational awareness, and we just scored to tie the game and get a chance now to go out and win the faceoff. We have the puck in full control, and we don't take care of it, and we're back on our heels again. So that's a team mindset thing. Obviously, Bert in that instance, but there's been too many instances of that. So sometimes you get emotional on the bench and you guys see it. Oftentimes it's behind closed doors and you don't see it. But regardless, it's an area that we have to get better in. And obviously, I got to do a better job of making them even more aware or holding them accountable if it's not going to be to the standard that's required. And that will certainly will be the case.
Let's jump right into it. We found the Rick Tocchet comment on, is it line changes or just attention line changes? Yeah. Listen to Rick Tocchet talk about that with his Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, it's the team that's willing to do the right things. You know what I mean? And then Seattle did. We didn't. We had some awful changes. You know, you changes lose you hockey games, lose you playoff series. You have to change properly, and we didn't.
I assume too the change coming out of the icing right before the Alexiak goal, their 1-1 goal.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the one. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it is something
it's
now
so telling
that it's so important to talk it.
Yes. And it is a byproduct of the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. And at least don't have a good clear picture right now of what they are or what they believe in as a team together. They still want to go do their own things. One guy's changing. The other one wants to take one more rush up the ice. Now the next guy's who's waiting for the last guy to change is getting ripped off his 20 or 30 second shift. He's pissed off. And it's just a domino effect. It's just not one moment a line change can create. It's the domino effect on your hockey club. That's what Rick Tocchet's talking about.
But when you have built the entire thing around these four guys, and everyone knows they get called the core four, they make the most money, they're the guys that have to carry the whole thing. When you've built this ecosystem, this infrastructure, aren't they going to just naturally feel, be like, oh, we got to stay out a little longer because we got to score. We got, like, it's a chicken and the egg to me, where it's like, that's the whole thing is built around them. And they're like, we got to stay out there a little longer. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying it's wrong, in fact. But they probably think in their mind, we have to do it all, so they're staying longer.
I think that goes back to very early in this year, talking about Team A and Team B, you know, and how it's, you know, the guys who are on the Leafs and going to be on the Leafs, and then sort
of this needs to get fixed. It needs to be addressed because you know where this is heading.
There's pain coming.
Fill me in.
Make the playoffs and lose in the first or second round. That's where it's heading.
For sure.
And so, you know, I have an article today out on sportsnet.ca, which is about getting ahead of that. Getting out ahead, because they still score and create chances at an elite level, which is something other teams who are in their spot in the standings can't do. So, like, they have some foundation to have success later. But Tree Living can't wait for this to just, let's just see. Let's just see if something will change over the course of the year. We've been here in Toronto talking about this team. It doesn't. It doesn't change. And so you need to make these moves early. And particularly now with Gio out, this decor is got to be able to have some help, you know, penalty killing, breaking pucks out, defending the D zone. That's, to me, what's key now is to not look at the results, but look at the process, which has not been good enough.
All right. Lots of talk about the trainer, Paul, talking to Sheldon Keefe. It looked like he was reiterating bad news for
Marner, we thought.
Mitch Marner on his puck to the jaw, but it was Mark Giordano and probably delivering the news that he ain't coming back and we may not see him for the next little while.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's grabbing his thumb at short of the broadcast, hard shot towards his thumb. Probably got to think, I'm no doctor, I'm no Ed Jovanovski, but probably a broken thumb.
Let's go to Sheldon.
Connection there.
Thank you.
Let's go to Sheldon on that in clip five.
Yeah, it remains to be seen. You know, we haven't been without him very much since he's been here. You know, obviously there's leadership, experience, a guy that gives us everything that he has, you know, penalty kill utility, all those kind of things. We've already got injuries on defense, so we were already asking a lot of him. And asking a lot of others too, and it'll be even more so now. But it's an opportunity for others to step up on defense, and even more reason for our forwards to really support our defense, which to me they haven't done a good enough job of.
Okay, you guys know how I feel about the whole Geo thing right from the get-go.
Asking right? too much.
Asking too much.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to Sheldon say, yeah, we ask a lot until he has no more. Well, yeah. Okay. So ask a guy that you should be building towards something, not just fly by the seat of your pants. The guy was up to 20 minutes a night. Like, are we that surprised he got hurt?
I don't know,
no,
man.
I know.
Listen, I'm not going to sit here and go, he hurt because he got a slap from the thumb. He didn't get tired.
He blocked.
It was an accident, shot. Justin, waiting to happen when a 40-year-old who should be playing 12 or 13 minutes is asked to play 20. That's an accident waiting to happen.
I can't give you that one. I don't think there's, you know, I agree that, like, he's playing too much. I would also say, though, that if you're Keith, it becomes a tree living thing. Who do you want me to play? You want me to play Lagesson to take off, you know, to relieve some of the stress on him? The one thing that where they're going to really struggle is penalty killing. Because he was playing almost 3 minutes a night.
And he blocks everything.
He blocks everything.
So you're telling me now, you know, the Stars shouldn't, because of that chance, like, what were the odds that he was going to break a bone?
But that's his role. You have a guy who's a PK shot-blocking guy. If he can't do those things, he can't play for them.
A 26-year-old guy's thumb could break very easily as well.
Yeah.
It can, but not when this guy needs to be out there 20 minutes a night is my point. You set him up to fail.
I don't disagree with the idea that his usage is like, it wasn't going to end great by the end of the season if they didn't
one
find
way or
solution.
Another. This guy was going to run out of gas. He was going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Something. But, you know, to your point, like, okay, I get it. You don't have anybody else. But that doesn't mean that you still have to throw the guy out there like that until, but you know, he breaks.
But yes, it does. It's on the manager.
Why are you going to miss the playoffs?
Well,
maybe. They're in fifth as of yesterday in their division.
They'll find their points. We know they'll find the points. They found the points last night.
Kipper, it's a different team.
They should have been down 3-0 last night, 4-0. This team finds a way to get their regular season points. That shouldn't be a concern. The concern is, what the hell are you going to look like in March?
So that is a fundamental discussion, because I don't think there's agreement from that coach that playoffs are guaranteed, or from fan base. You know, I think he's grinding for points here.
He lost his mind on the bench.
I get it. Coaches get fired.
Yeah.
They don't look like they're building something.
Yeah.
Just ask Dean Evason, I guess. But at the same time, like, ask more from players. Demand more from other players.
He just doesn't have the options.
This is my article today, because it's, okay, so Benoit, Lagesson, and Timmins are going to play more minutes. And now, I guess, Lejoie is going to come up and be...
The Raj 590.
Raj is going to play. You know, you just can't do that for long. These guys can work as gum in the Hoover Dam hole for a little bit, but eventually the water's coming through, so you need solutions there. It's
Benoit was okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
He didn't kill you last night.
But this is Holmberg last year to me, where these guys are going to be okay for a bit, but it's not a viable long-term plan.
What makes good guys really good is they're good every night and they're good for the whole season.
Yeah.
What makes bad guys kind of bad is that they can have one or two nights where they won't kill you, but stretched out over a season, there's going to be a lot of nights you're like, holy crap, what's he doing?
I thought about, like, in my article, I wrote, like, I can get on a treadmill and run at, like, a pretty high clip for, like, 30 seconds.
Yes.
But the really good runners do it
seconds.
For, like,
okay
a marathon.
There. Okay, there. You say multiple.
Yeah, I know.
30 seconds.
The idea is, can you keep doing it? And I can't.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to a quick clip of Sheldon talking about his depth guys, clip 7.
Those guys done a good job for us. You know, they really have. They're tall guys with good reach, and they're competitive. They get in the way. Whether it's 5-on-5 and penalty kill, both guys have given us lots of confidence in them. So, you know, we took Lagesson out last night, but I think he's done a really good job for us. And, you know, he'll come back in. And like I said, we'll be asking more of those guys now, but they've shown that they can do a job for us. You know, they've given us really good minutes and kept the puck out of our net when they're out there for the most part. So that's really all you can ask for from them.
You should just go down the hall and get more tall guys from the Raptors.
We just like tall guys.
You got any tall guys? I mean, yeah, come on.
Boucher's Canadian. He could probably strap him up. Perfect. Out there. Yeah, he's like 6'10".
You know, Benoit and Lagesson have been good. And so my article and my commentary now, I hope, is not that I don't think those guys have been good, because they have. My worry is that they can't consistently do this.
Like, you, so when's Lilligan coming back?
He's been out 10 games now, so... He's eligible.
High ankle sprains could be 6 or 8 weeks.
I think Luke Fox tweeted today that there's no signs of him like inching towards the ice again. Like he's so not close.
You're better off breaking on many occasions than the high ankle sprain. Mm-hmm.
So then he's gone for however long. Gio's gone for however long. And then, you know, you're just going to rock and roll with those three guys in the bottom half? Like,
well, we are going to talk about Wohl and Gregor at some point because they were positive things. But also, to your point, those guys you're talking about, Timmins has been really – hasn't gone great in his return. I mean, he only played 2 games so far. But
yeah.
He kind of looks the puck over a record amount.
He kind of looks like Connor Timmins.
He looks like a poor man's Klingberg.
I know, Kipper, it's hard. Everybody hockey guy says it's hard. But how do you not bring somebody in? Like, if you run this, they're going to be without Gio for a long time, without Lilligan for a long time.
I would imagine that there are
some discussions.
Working the phones feverishly to find a defenseman now to.
You need a body.
Plug a hole, a Gio hole right now.
Yeah, in that sort of role. Do you want to listen to Keefe on their thin decor?
Go for it. Okay. All right, yeah.
We're getting thin. Yeah, we're just talking about it. We're thin, and we got some guys that played big minutes today, so we're thinking we might be shorthanded for practice tomorrow, just giving guys some time away. And, you know, it's a busy week for us in terms of every other day, so we asked a lot of those guys today, but they stood in there.
Little love for Morgan Riley, who played 30 minutes and 30 seconds last night.
He's been unbelievable.
He's been the Leafs MVP this year?
You got the conversation.
Yeah, no, he's been solid. It's just, it drops like a stone behind him, unfortunately.
Brody and McCabe are nice guys, and they've been...
The play he made on Nick Cousins on the breakaway, where he
didn't panic.
He was going to come around from the left side of him, and he paused and brought it over the other shoulder and just knocked it away clean. It was really, really nice.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a quick break here. Catch our breath. More Leaf conversation, including the one that Justin just mentioned, on one box that they don't necessarily have to worry about. Goaltending. Conversation on Joseph Wohl after the break. You're watching and listening to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kipper Hills, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Back for the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Starting to get messages from Spotify people with lists and stuff. Are you guys getting that too?
I'm really glad you brought that up, Kipper. Yeah.
Because I got one from Derek Augustine, who says that he's spent in 2023 2,382 minutes listening to us.
That's a lot of minutes.
And Derek, I just want to say, get a life, man.
No, he doesn't want
seriously.
To say that. I would like to say we appreciate you, Derek.
I've all Spotify Wrapped been doing this for a while. Maybe like, I don't know, 7 or 8 years now that they've been doing this. And I love it. Mm. And I really have always cherished it because it's a good...
I actually get a lot of my music from there. Yeah, I steal other people's most listened songs.
It's a good barometer of like what you've done in the year listening-wise. And to have like... I've gotten a million tweets and DMs from people on Instagram of like having my stuff in there and having our stuff, like Leafs talks in there, Real Kipper. It's crazy.
I know.
It's a real trip. So I'm happy people are sending. Keep sending them. I love it.
And I'm just kidding, dude. Thank you.
Yeah. Just me on year 300 listened to Jimmy Eat World.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Not to get a suicide, but they juiced the popular artists way up.
Yeah, you don't believe that you listen to that much Drake, I know.
Agreed. I don't. I really don't. He's my number one guy. Come on.
No chance.
No way.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
What's the score last night without Joseph Wohl?
Honestly, 4-0 in the first period.
Yeah.
You had 4?
Yeah.
I had 2.
Yeah. It's not what it was. That's for sure. He was so good. And this is really, God, there's a comfort level with him and Ned, isn't there?
Yes. I think fundamentally there's a consistency there that that you're a lot more comfortable maybe at any point you ever were with Samsonov, to be honest with you. And he had a decent year last year.
Yeah.
He had a good year.
I worry about relying on someone so inexperienced, but God, the way NHL goalies kind of come out of nowhere these days and they're all comparable, he at least seems in the group of goaltenders who can do it.
To me, watching him, it's the lack of high highs and low lows.
Mm-hmm.
Like with Samsonov, some of his nights he's unbelievable and some of the nights he doesn't make a save.
Yeah, you go into the game, it's like going, three on four. Yeah.
You know, it's like Kucherov scores 3 points on him in the first 5 minutes of the game. It can go really bad. But I just feel like the kind of the consistency of Wall, you kind of get, you know what you're going to get a little more?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more dependable in that front, do you think?
Yeah. We got Keefe on him too if we want.
Can the Leafs just maybe in the next 5 or 10 games just start winning games where their goalie doesn't have to be the first star? Like,
that would be ideal.
It's either, so far, it's either been really great or below average. But can it hit the point where a lot of teams are getting goaltending that's make the save you're supposed to save? And
yeah. Yeah, that would be great. And you know, last night, you don't think the Leafs deserve to win that game, but their goalie keeps them in it. And that's, you know, you need some of these early in the season while you sort out some of your issues. Why don't we listen to Sheldon talk about Joseph Woll?
Just so solid. I mean, we gave up. You know, this has been a problem for us here in the last little bit. You know, a lot of the best chances we've given up of coming off of our breakouts, giving the puck back to the other team, and all of a sudden it's at our net. You don't have a whole lot of time to think or to set or to make any reads. You just got to battle and be athletic and compete. And he did that. So I thought his play through that segment, the final segment of the first period, obviously keeps us around in the game. I didn't think we gave up very much after that for the most part. But anything that we did, he was solid. And, of course, you know, overtime and shootout.
Are you almost running out of defensemen?
SportLogic had Florida with 7 grade A chances, 6 grade B chances, and 9 grade C chances. So to give up one goal on that combination of 22 chances is pretty good.
I'm glad he sounds like a guy that knows that he won but probably deserves to lose.
Yeah.
Keith?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He does. You'd think they would have lost 5-2 based on his tone and his shortness, I guess.
It's the most told story about the Leafs right now that they have 5 regulation wins in 20 games. I must have heard it 5 times last night. Mm-hmm. I see it on Twitter all the time. They're not handling business with any sort of efficiency.
A couple days ago, he was asked a question that had that in the question. He's like, oh, you guys love that one.
Oh, yeah.
He's aware.
He's like, you guys love talking about that one. It's like, yeah. Well, it's a worthy talking point,
tell
in my
us
opinion.
Something. Yeah. You're not running away with games here, so.
I'm just going to ask you guys that, like, what you saw out of the Florida Panthers, because there's a team that went to the final, but I was really impressed with their last 2 games.
They looked better.
Oh, yeah. To me, they look better. They look faster than they did last year.
Yeah. I agree.
Is that because they dropped the Stahls?
It could be.
Or Gudas?
There's 3 guys. But also, I think they know what they are now. Like, last year, when Maurice had his meltdown in Toronto, they felt like a team in search of an identity. They didn't really have a clear picture of what they were. I think playoffs helped them sort out who they were. Sam Reinhart has become one of the game's elite scorers now. Like, they've got talent all through the lineup and seem to have found themselves a little bit. So I would agree with you. They're a real contender.
And where would Oliver Ekman-Larsson be on the depth chart in Toronto? And on this Florida team, he's 5-6.
Well, I mean, like currently, top pair.
Yeah.
Currently top pair.
Yeah. So that gives you some idea of what the difference is between Florida right now and the Toronto Maple Leafs. That in itself should tell you a lot.
I do think that their D is the envy of a lot of teams. You know, it's Vegas is now without Shea Theodore, but that's always a D core that people look at as elite. When Colorado won the Cup, their D core was elite. good decors tend to go far. And yeah, this looks like a legitimate decor there in Florida.
I got a question for you guys. Thoughts on Max
doing the hair thing to Bennett?
Yeah.
I'm fine with it.
Okay. As three well-haired men, I don't know how that feels.
I'm not. It's for long here, but I do appreciate that, you know, it's something you get to
the bigger concern was in an important game, will Max hold his cool or would he end up with 4 minutes? Like that exchange, that earlier
exchange.
What did
you think of that 4 minute?
He got the extra rabid punch in.
Yeah. I just thought you're already giving him one.
They absolutely never call that. Like, that's just, they never call. And if you're going to call the extra two, you got to give number nine a dive, too. The embellishment was absurd.
You leave yourself open for sure. Leave it up to the official to decide. That's all.
Yeah.
And if you want to, he fought him at the end. I mean, they fought. And that's where you just kind of take a number there and say, you know, I'll fight you. I'll challenge you.
Yeah.
And he did. Like, Max ain't scared, but... Clearly, Bennett's the better fighter.
Bennett's bigger man, significantly.
Bit of a missile out there. He's just flying around. He's doing stuff. He's an effective guy. The other question I wanted to have you guys, did you know who was under 10 minutes on the Leafs forward core last night?
Under 10 minutes?
Camp
was under 10 minutes at 9:28.
Yeah, there's a bit of a concern there, too.
Reeves was 7:40, and Nick Robertson was 9:15. Those are the three guys.
I didn't think Robertson was bad last night.
It's not that it wasn't bad. It was just it doesn't really lend towards him. A big, heavy team like that battles on the wall.
Usefulness is diminished.
That's I think he had one or two good chances in the slot.
Yeah.
He's got a shootout, got a score on a couple of those. That's your bread and butter. It's not to battle off the wall and knock somebody over. You're in a position where you're a shooter and you got to score.
Yeah. It's, you know, I'm torn on the Robertson thing and Domi a little bit too, where it's like you need some guys who can provide surprise offense for you when it's not the main guys. You need some guys in your lineup that can do that. But
so that's a chicken and the egg. I need someone that battles off the walls first before I can get to thinking about scoring a goal?
Yeah. Well, that was always the debate. Like, what do you do when you're not scoring? Because how many goals is Robertson going to score if he plays 75 games this year? He's going to score 17 goals. So what are you going to do for us the other, 67, 8 games? You know, so he's still looking for a way to be useful when he's not shooting it in the net.
Since the Vancouver game, his ice times are 9:25, 8:43, 7:42, 12:40, 9:32, 9:15.
Yeah. Really? But wow.
The game doesn't set up well for against Florida and style of plays to have Nick Robertson shine.
Yes.
My fear is that, trust tree with you guys, no one else is listening, that we witness like the annual three good Nick Robertson games.
Yeah.
And it's just like back to...
Like in 2022
Robertson.
When he scored against Dallas in OT.
Yeah,
you can't bail on him, Sammy.
You can't bail on him. And you've started something. You just got to continue to hopefully bring his stock up a little bit.
Okay.
Seattle's coming into town tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Not the bravest team.
They also need offense.
They're a little soft.
They can't shoot it in the net.
Right? They're missing some toughness.
So good night for Robertson, saying?
Good night for Nick Robertson.
Seattle, one will trade you Will Borgen for Robertson.
Well, they,
like it? Anyone in?
I don't even know what the name you said.
He runs into people.
Okay,
or
sure.
Borgen, plays defense.
All right.
Listen, they're looking, Seattle, for those type of, more of those guys.
More tough guys.
Yes.
But they also need to score.
Yeah.
Last year.
They're challenged this year. You mentioned that earlier in our shows, and I thought they'd be fine, but there's some concerns out of Seattle.
It's tough when you don't get talent first, and which is why I still believe that the Leafs can be a contender. When you have the talent, you can figure out pieces around it and grit and structure and defense and all that. Mm. When you can't score, it's just hopeless. Like, there's just no way out of some of these games. And that's how I feel about Seattle still.
Okay, we still have plenty more on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show as we take a break and then go national. We'll welcome in Frank Saravelli, Hockey Insider, President of Hockey Content on the Daily Faceoff. And we're starting to discuss names We want names, Frank. Leafs need help on the blue line. Give us a list. That with Frank after the break. Stick around, everybody. We're just still warming up here on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.